most of the time. The optics don't matter.
Hmm.
I want freedom.
Yeah.
I want healing. I want restoration.
Yeah, that's good.
And so there's an invitation to be desperate and hungry and know that we will not only receive what we've been praying for, but we will be restored back in and called daughter. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting
yeah.
for me.
That's good. Beautiful.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Estabrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 17.
Well, welcome to See Hear Love and the first week of our very special three-part Bible series called Jesus's Encounters with Women, a series that I'm really passionate about, these interactions with Jesus that are so tender and moving and so deeply intimate, and it's why I follow him. His love towards women, demonstrating equality and justice and safety and kindness and all the things and deep love for them, for us, for me. So this study is very, very special. Talking about study, here is our free study guide, Bible study guide that you can download at seeherlove.com/Jesus Encounter Study. Open it up and you've got prayers and lines here that you can write your notes in, and you can follow along with us for the next 3 weeks, taking notes as we share the stories of these women. Panel that are gonna be for 3 weeks together. So thrilled that you're here.
Thank you.
To teach, so to learn, to lean in. And I have to introduce you because I'm so humbled and honored that we're around the table together. So first off, Dr. Beth Green, the lady in red, looking stunning, Provost and Chief Academic Officer of Tyndale University in Toronto. Didn't know this about you, and I love this, that you are a fellow of the Royal Society of the Arts and a graduate of Oxford, Cambridge, and London universities.
Okay.
Wow. And as a former high school teacher, I love this. Okay, yeah. You're an expert in religious school ethos, teaching, learning, and social theory and education. So we can learn a lot from you as you, teach. You can kind of bring back your teaching to us today. Beth, welcome.
Thank you.
And right beside you, a very familiar face,
hey, friend.
Dynamic face and person, Cheryl Nemhart.
Wow. Hey.
Let's get ready for the list. International speaker, author, podcaster, TV host, and social justice advocate. What else do you do, Cheryl? You're currently the director of the Women Speaker Collective, Speakers Collective, empowering women's voices worldwide. So proud of you.
Honored to be here with you.
Thank you. Yes. And we are too. Thank you so much, Cheryl. And beside you, another lady in red. I love this coordination of the colors.
Holy Spirit.
Yes, Anne Voskamp, mom of seven.
So grateful.
Wow. Four times New York Times bestselling author, a blogger, an international speaker, and of course, a wife to one fine Canadian farmer.
So grateful.
There you go.
So grateful.
Here is the panel for the series. And Beth, I'm so excited for this teaching from Luke 8:43 to 48, the women with the issue of blood. So we're looking forward to it. We'll open up our study guides and hear about the story and then have some conversation afterwards.
Yeah. So well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to spend some time in this story, Melinda. Mm. Actually, all three of the synoptic gospels, so that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell us about this woman who was bleeding and who came to Jesus. I'm going to be drawing mostly on Luke's account, chapter 8, but there's some good bits in the other gospels as well, which I'll draw on.
Okay.
So here's an overview of the story. Jesus is back in his hometown, Nazareth, and he's out teaching in the area around. And word has got out that he's healing people, right? Mm-hmm. So people are coming for healing, bringing their friends for healing. Probably some of them are just there to watch, to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. But I think Jesus is doing an even bigger thing than just healing, right? I think Jesus is restoring people back into relationship with God and back into the community with one another. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is actually on his way to meet with somebody else when this happens. Hmm. A leader in the synagogue, I would have been an important man at the time, had begged him to come and heal his 12-year-old daughter who was dying. Mm. And we know this man's name, Jairus. We don't know the name of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Mm. I just want to pause. Mm-hmm. Bleeding for 12 years.
I can't imagine.
So she doesn't even speak to Jesus. She just comes up behind him in the crowd and touches the edge of his cloak. And immediately that bleeding stops. So she's healed in the moment. Jesus feels it. We're told that Jesus feels the power go out of him. I want you to notice something. So a prominent man from the synagogue can come meet Jesus openly. A woman at this time has to be accompanied by a husband or a male relative in order to meet the rabbi. So this woman's alone. She's unnamed. She's brave to come like that. And this is most likely to have been menstrual bleeding. So we can assume she's never been pregnant if she experiences this kind of hemorrhaging. And to be childless is another form of shame in a tight-knit community that depends on kinship and family name. And also you need children to look after you when you're old. We don't know if she's married, but she's come alone and she's hidden away in this crowd. She's penniless now. Mark tells us that she's spent all the resources that she had on the doctors, and basically no one's been able to help her. She would probably use rags to staunch the bleeding. Women did use natural fibres at that time to insert and prevent bleeding, but if she's penniless, she doesn't have access to that anymore. So she smells, like she stinks in the heat of the Judean sun. She's weak, she's probably anemic. She knows that she smells, she knows that people find her shameful, and actually under Old Testament law, she's unclean. So women were considered ritually unclean every month during the time of their period. And between each month, you need to perform a rite to become clean again. She has to get to the temple to do that. Well, she doesn't have the money to do that anymore. So because Jesus stops to find out who's touched him, he's actually held up on his way to Jairus' house, and the 12-year-old girl dies. Jesus' priorities, I don't think they would have made any sense to that crowd, right? Like, why would you ever stop for an unclean woman? Why would you delay Jairus, this like really important guy? Why would you ask a silly question? Like, the disciples say that. Well, of course somebody's touched you. The crowds are pressing in. But both the girl and the woman matter to Jesus. Interestingly, touching that corpse will also make Jesus unclean. So we've got blood in this story, loneliness, suffering, sin, but none of that is a barrier to Jesus. Jesus restores women to life, full life. And what I love is that Jesus calls both of these women his daughters. That's the ultimate belonging, the ultimate protection. And he honours this woman because he chooses to speak with her publicly and he commends her faith in front of everyone, in front of all of those crowds. He tells her to go in peace.
I love that.
And I just think after that kind of life of pain and weakness and deep, deep fatigue, loneliness, mess, poverty, you name it, that peace, she just must have felt that so deeply. So I was wondering what stands out to us in that Jesus encounter. And what about you?
First, just thank you, Beth, for really bringing us into the scene. And what's on the page becomes so personal to us. So just thank you. I think I'm just really moved to really sit with, this is a sacred, holy text that speaks to the everyday life of us as women. That says things that sometimes in lovely company, we don't speak of these things at all. But here, this is a holy text speaking about what it's like to be a woman bleeding. And I think what I find so profound is to think about sometimes as women, dealing with monthly bleeding, we find ourselves physically anemic, but how do I find myself spiritually anemic? And am I going to reach out and touch Jesus and immediately be healed? So I think I just feel really convicted about the times my soul is anemic. And where do I reach out to find that iron strength? Thank you, Beth.
Wow, so good.
Cheryl?
This is so good. What's coming to me is that I want to encourage someone that desperation can lead to destiny. And that sometimes we are paused because of the optics, because of our shame, because of external things that have been said and done that have caused us to stay stuck and not want to run after and pursue the freedom that is promised to us. And I am looking at a woman who just left all societal expectations and boundaries, risked her very life, was that desperate for freedom that she just ran after. And I, you know, we talk about touching the hem, but I just believe she collapsed. I believe there was, you know, there was momentum there. It wasn't just, by the time you get there, it's not a light touch. You just really, there's a hunger. And I wanna, I think for me, I'm just reminding myself that sometimes, most of the time, the optics don't matter. I want freedom. I want healing. I want restoration. And so there's an invitation to be desperate and hungry and know that we will not only receive what we've been praying for, but we will be restored back in and called daughter. And that's exciting for me.
That's good.
Beautiful.
Wow. Oh, look at my notes. I'm like writing notes down here. Okay, so a couple things, and I'll give you some backstory of how this came about. I was at a church, and this is just the experience. I was at a church, and a man was preaching on this text. And I'm sitting there, and probably 70% of the people in the church were women. And he's sharing this text, and quickly goes by the 12 years of bleeding, quickly goes by everything, and then goes to the part of the, you know, the power coming out of Jesus, and we landed on that. And I remember as a woman looking around, and women still not there with him, were still on the fact that this woman had bled for 12 years. And as a woman, knowing the struggle monthly that I have, the pain, the uncomfortable part, as you were saying, like weak, anemic, stinky, rags of blood, like it's awful. And so I think how this story just connects to me is just this woman, so shamed and ostracized and stinky, and people pushing her away and disgusted by her, then goes and says, here's my chance. And I think what stands out to me is, do we do that? Because a lot of things like that keep us from Jesus. I'm stinky, I'm gross, I'm not enough, I'm not like them, I can't enter in, I can't engage, I can't talk. And here she is, all in this, and just goes for it. And to me, it actually makes me quite emotional to say, wow, this woman is incredible. This woman who had every reason not to engage with Jesus, not to put herself out there, even though she was, there was a whole bunch of part of the story of where she was like, oh, and then she's like, I guess I realize I better stand up, because when Jesus says, who touched me? Clearly, I better stand up and say, it's me. But everything about her is brave and amazing. And I can't imagine how awful 12 years of bleeding would be. Like, I can't imagine that. And in the way, though, the other thing of Jesus asking, who touched me, is also very fascinating question.
Because he knows.
Because he knows. That's what I'm saying. He knows.
He's drawing her out.
There it is. He knew who touched him. And he could have just said, oh, well, you know, turned around and said, there you are. And but he, so you say he was drawing her out, meaning what?
So I think he wanted to publicly acknowledge.
Well,
I was thinking about what you were saying, Cheryl, about it didn't, she didn't worry about getting herself all together before she met Jesus. In fact, you both mentioned that. And I think he's it's really significant that he, first of all, doesn't expect her to follow the rabbinic code. She just is herself in her need. And actually, he wants to commend her for her faithfulness, because that's all we're asked, to just come to Jesus as we are. So I think it's really, really significant that he does that.
And can I say, in a time where women had no property value, no decision-making opportunity, they were considered less than, second class, part of chattel. I believe that Jesus curated a moment to establish the worthiness of women. And it was a beautiful, that asking, that pausing of the crowd, eyes on her, for her to say it was me, and then this big public daughter She's worthy of freedom. She's worthy of healing. She's worthy. Yeah. And what a beautiful recalibrating of hearts of people that were like ready to just, you know, this lower than. And she deserves, she earns space, time, attention from Jesus.
And shout out to Luke.
Because he's
chosen to emphasize this story and to pair it with the story of the little girl who's dying as well. Like that 12-year imagery mirroring each other, that's not a coincidence. The arc of how he's written this story is to say these are the people who are worthy of Jesus's time and attention and should have the confidence.
And he doesn't feel that that's an interruption on his way to get to the one girl.
Yeah, it's good.
All women in all places and spaces mattered to him. And I think for each of us coming with our own shameful stories, our own messy stories, the things we wouldn't want to mention in company at all, it's here in the text. You can come with all of your messiness and the rags and the stench and the filthiness. Jesus wants all of that, and all you need to do is just reach out to touch his hem. Like, she didn't have to do so much as opposed to just touch his hem.
And the faith of that, to the hem.
Yes, yes.
The hem.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny, I just a sentence I heard is like, what others deem as an interruption is actually God's invitation to us for connection, encounter, healing. And so we rid ourselves of what will others say and think.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description, or sign up through our website at seeherlove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Hear Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seeherlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seeherlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
I have to bring the humanity of just the disciples. Like, the disciples. Oh, the Jesus, disciples. So many people are around you. Yeah. Like, at this point, come on, disciples.
Yeah, gatekeeping.
There's always moments with Jesus. Come on. Like, when he says that, I love how they're like, so many people are touching you, Jesus. And he's like, no, this one. Like, I feel, and I'm just giving the humanity of the disciples. Like, how many times in the everyday, we think it's just an everyday thing. It's not a moment. Mm. And I think that speaks to me as a person where it's like, in the everyday, sometimes we miss actually the moment, the interruption for Jesus to speak and move. Like the disciples over and over kept missing some of those moments because of, we got to do it every day, hustle Jesus. We got the, let's go.
Interruption today.
Yeah, we got to go. There's a plan ahead. We've got something we're doing. Interruption. And that's the beauty of Jesus where he's like, no.
Invitation.
Yeah. In that moment when Jesus says, who touched me? To be honest, it'd be really tempting to go, oh my goodness, if I say nothing, can it just pass over and no one will know it's me? She had to trust him enough to say it is me. And to trust that Jesus can call us out and we can stand and trust he's got good things ahead for me as he calls me out. She stepped into over her fear with such great faith when he called her out.
So I have a different question for you all. I'd like you to think about how this encounter with Jesus might inspire you to live differently. Cheryl, do you want to go first?
Okay.
No pressure.
Wow. Inspire us to live differently. Okay.
I'm going to stop being my own worst enemy.
Okay. Tell me about that.
I can negotiate away why I am not worthy of, why I shouldn't obey, why it's not me, why not. And the narrative, the text in my head, I can only imagine before she got to the crowd, on the way to the crowd, the reel in her head of what could go wrong, why I shouldn't, this is crazy, what am I doing? How many times have we been there? But there was something in her, and that's just to go back to that desperation. You get to a place where it no longer matters. I just want Jesus. And so for me, I want to live in that place of desperation and come out of like negative self-talk or complacency or whatever it is that holds me back. I just want to live in hunger and passion.
Love it.
For Jesus.
So good. I love it. You know, it's for mine, how does this encounter inspire me to live differently? And I've written in big letters that I refuse for shame to no longer hold me back, right?
Yes.
The shame of my past, the shame that, you know, the crippling of thoughts of like, I'm not enough, the imposter syndrome, the, you know, the past kind of disqualifies me from not educated enough, all the things, the shame will not hold me back. And I feel like this is a theme with this woman, with the issue of blood. It's that all the things to keep her back. All the things, like even smell, and all those things, the physical things, let alone in our culture now, can hold us back or we're so offended by. And yet she's like, this is it. This is Jesus. And if he's not the one who's going to heal or draw me out, who will? And I think that's the part where it's like to live differently is to not let shame hold me back. And to see Jesus in that way, the Jesus who's like, interrupt. I'm not too busy for you. I'm not this like pie in the sky so far away that I don't want to engage in your life intimately in one-on-one. I think that's the thing. And I think sometimes we get clouded within the doing, within sometimes, you know, our Christian speak and culture where that's the priority. And yet here is an example of true, like, I need to reach out and be with him. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
So, Anne, how is it inspiring you?
I think I intimately relate to her because of a significant health issue in my own life. Because of bleeding over a long period of time, ended up with a hemoglobin that was down in the 60s as opposed to 120. And so I ended up with a heart murmur because of the anemia. And just the spiritual metaphor of where is there something in my life where there is a bleeding out that's actually leaving me with a heart murmur and weakened. And not, it was a slow boiling of a frog where I just thought, oh, I'm this age and this is the way this actually is. As opposed to like being really intentional, like, oh, where can I actually check my life and do kind of just a health checkup in all kinds of ways, and see like where is there this hemorrhaging in my own life spiritually that's leaving me anemic, such that I don't have to be able to do a lot. All I have to do is, what does it look like every day to reach out and just touch him and find real healing? I don't have to stumble through my life in all kinds of ways with a heart murmur and hardly hanging on spiritually. Just pausing every day and having enough courage to say the crowd doesn't matter. I just need to be with Jesus. So for me personally, yes, there's the physical resonance with this woman, but spiritually, I think we all struggle with anemia and to realize that Jesus is the iron that we need for the strength to go forward.
That's really good.
Thank you for sharing that part of your story.
Yeah.
Well, I just think I'm so moved that Luke would put this in the text. Yeah. When you think about the rabbinic law, that this is unceremonial clean, we go, well, we wouldn't tell that story. It's way too...
But yeah, of all the stories.
There's
clean ones and really sanitized stories.
And this is the most unsanitized story.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the Luke saw that this Jesus showed the woman such compassion and such dignity that it's in the text.
Yes.
And so often as women, we see, where am I in the text?
Yeah, where am I? Yeah.
Like in our most intimate parts of our personal stories, here we are.
Yeah.
And all we have to do is touch his hem and find healing.
Awesome. Beth, what about you? Yeah, how will this inspire you to live differently?
Thanks for asking me that. I'm really thankful, Cheryl, for the way that you began your reflections, because I often go to the personal instead of maybe some of the challenges. Mm-hmm. And the challenge in here for me, I think, is who am I paying attention to? Mm-hmm. Who am I willing to be interrupted by? Like, I can say lots of other things about how it moves me, this story, which would be true. But actually, I think in the story, I'm often like the disciples. I have an image in my head of what my Christian life should be or what my encounters with God should be like. Mm-hmm. And those make me miss. You know, I'm so determined to fit the ideal that I'm not being authentic, that I'm not seeing others around me and their need, and forgetting who Jesus actually prioritizes. Mm. I think for me, there's a real challenge. I think the other part is just how physical this story is, and to remember my body. Mm. Like, I spend a lot of time in libraries, right? I'm in my head a lot. And the fact that actually God made my body, and it's good, and he loves it. Mm-hmm. And when it breaks down, that gives him grief. It's not how he made the world to be, right? And I want to stick with the way I've been challenged, although it's important to recognize, that we are embodied and God made us as women. Mm.
So powerful. And in this story, just for a few minutes, you know, the Jesus part, I think the interaction with Jesus, I love the word, like, it's this like strength and tenderness. Mm. It's this like kindness and yet power. Mm-hmm. It's this like... Mm. Whereas, you know, in culture now, it's like one or the other. Like, you're either like, oh, you're so kind and tender and gentle, or you're power, strong, clear. Like,
here it's both and.
Exactly. It's here it's both and. It's something that I want to aspire, because sometimes I would move to one or the other. But to kind of marry the two in that way is like, oh. Does that resonate?
Yeah,
so resonate.
Jesus in that way?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, you know, it's I really just draw to her, because I think sometimes I have, as we all have, tried to figure out, what does the perfect woman look like? How does she speak? What does she dress like? And God is, he's like, I don't care about any of that. Mm. Bring your raw. Bring your ugly. Bring your messy.
Bring
your smelly.
The messy. Yep.
An interruption.
Yes.
He wants intimacy. He wants you to come your vulnerability and touch him. Yeah. Yeah. He wants to be touched so that we are touched. And in him touching us, that power heals us.
Amen.
So beautiful,
Amen.
Cheryl. Yeah. What does intimacy look like with Jesus?
I feel like we need to bring the smelly. Bring your smelly to Jesus.
It's true. It's
bring
true.
Your smelly.
Take the mask
That'll
off.
Be my next message title.
Bring your smelly. Yeah. Love this. I love this conversation. There's so many takeaways. Beth, it's like, we need the iron of Jesus, because we're all anemic. Yes, the interruptions, be aware of the physical part of this and our body. We could go on all the things about love and care and courage and not letting shame hold us back. There is so many good things.
Yeah, and in the midst of our pain, he gives us such peace.
Exactly.
I mean,
can we go on?
That? Yes.
You know, so Beth, thank you for just drawing this out and bringing this to us in such a real life. Like, I want to sit with her one day and just chat with her about that. What was it like?
Yes.
And the moment where you stopped bleeding. Mm. The moment she stopped bleeding, and can you imagine that moment of like, like her body physically probably felt it and was like, so I think the best way to wrap this up is for prayer.
Yeah.
And so, Cheryl, I know you've brought a prayer, but to just pray and sort of like kind of in this, like, it's very tender and close, and to sort of seal this conversation up. So why don't we pray, Cheryl?
Yeah, I really felt led to write a prayer. So let me just say that over all of us. Mm. Heavenly Father, we come before you today lifting up every woman
who, like the woman in Luke 8, is pressing through the crowd.
Yes.
Through the crowd of doubt, through pain, through rejection, maybe even through fear, to touch the hem of your garment.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, you see the battles we fight, the burdens we carry, and the silent struggles that others may not even know.
Mm.
And just as you saw her, Jesus, would you remind us that we also are seen, and that you call us daughter into deeper intimacy.
Wow.
So lastly, God, for the woman who has carried wounds for too long,
yes.
Jesus, please heal her.
Yes.
For the woman who feels unseen, Jesus, remind her that she is seen and known by you.
Yes.
For the woman exhausted from striving, give her rest and peace that passes all understanding.
Mm.
And for the woman afraid to believe again for her destiny, would you renew her faith and hope in you? We ask this in your great, compassionate name. Amen.
Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you, Beth and Anne, Cheryl, for being with us. Thanks to Canadian Bible Society for your sponsorship in making this series possible. And don't forget to sign up for our Bible study guide right here at Jesus Encounter Study. Go to seeherelove.com for all the information about us and all the things that we're doing. And follow us on Instagram so you can see all the behind the scenes, know where we're headed across Canada and what we're up to here at See Here Love. And may this story of the woman with the issue of blood and her encounter with Jesus inspire you to be brave, to follow Jesus, to really see people, to serve others with kindness and tenderness, and to befriend those that are marginalized. And as you do, always know that you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See Here Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See Here Love because of these generous sponsors, Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.